The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, as I'm sure you're aware, yesterday Patrick Nevin was jailed for a total of 12 years for raping one woman and sexually assaulting another after meeting both women through the dating app Tinder. Now, whether 12 years is sufficient is a discussion maybe for another day. But a lot of people are very worried about Tinder and other dating apps as a result of hearing of this case. He met the women on Tinder, picked them up from their homes before driving to secluded areas to attack them. And there have been calls today to have sex offenders banned from using these apps for life. Well, those calling for the ban included Fine Gael Senator Catherine Noon and the National Women's Council of Ireland. But how realistic is it to implement such a ban? We'll talk in a moment to Ro McDermott, who you know from doing movies on this programme, but she's also relationship advice columnist with the Irish Times. And we're joined by our regular Tech Tuesday journalist, Andy O'Donoghue. Let's start with you. Is it possible for these dating apps to actually regulate members to pick up who are the sexual deviants, the sexual predators?
I think it's almost impossible, Matt. I mean, for instance, Tinder ban a lot of people for various reasons, somewhat frivolous in many cases, some justified. However, the problem with using any online dating app is authenticity and verifiable identity. And of course, last week we were talking about age verification. I suppose to make it absolutely positive, or as close as it could be, and that you could ban somebody, we would have to have what's called an authenticated web. And we're very unlikely to go back to that. That's something that would have
to
have been
done. What is an authenticated web?
It's the ideal world that Google and Facebook like to propose to us. So, you know, one Facebook account, it really is you, verified with a phone, and other forms of identity.
Why would that be so hard? I mean, for example, there are many people on Twitter who are verified with a blue tick. I have one, for example. No, not everybody has one, but why shouldn't everybody have one?
Well, it's a good question. However, when you turn to online dating, of course, you are talking about it, something that's often very private to people, and it may be because of sexual preference and the type of relationship that they're seeking, so they may not want to use their real identity. And of course, in most cases, the great majority of cases, that's not a problem. The problem is when the system is abused, and of course, and I don't just mean from a criminal perspective, but, you know, with trolling and with harassment and abuse, which are very, very common in the online dating world, as anybody will tell you who's used it, that's the problem that is really difficult to address. However, with a sexual offender list, would it be possible to issue directives to social media companies and dating apps? I think it would be possible. Whether they could police it or not, it would be no harm to try it and to look at it.
Sort of a form of Garda vetting for the internet almost, isn't
it? Well, it may sound extreme, but what's wrong with trying it?
Okay, Ro McDermott, as I've introduced you, you're our movie critic each week here, but you do write a relationship column for the Irish Times. What do you make of the problem of people, anonymous people, sometimes and sometimes not so anonymous, being sexual predators and stalkers on Tinder and other such sites?
So, of course, I think this news story is an example of an extreme, you know, previously abusive person using these sites for predatory and abusive means. But I think on a less extreme example, I think the problem is that dating apps and the attitude around dating apps have increasingly normalized the violations of people's boundaries and their privacy and their safety. And this happens at the level of tech companies themselves. For example, rideshare companies such as Uber and Lyft have frequently not taken seriously complaints from passengers that their drivers have, for example, started chatting them up or started texting them when they have access to people's addresses and phone numbers. So, of course, that would feel incredibly invasive. And for someone who is driving you in a moving vehicle, for particularly for women, I believe, that feels incredibly invasive. But in a lot of ways, users are also normalizing these violations of people's boundaries. So I've used dating apps in my time, and I know a lot of people who do as well. And there's almost an attitude that if you're on a dating app, and particularly if you're looking for a casual sexual relationship, that you don't have the right to demand safety and respect and privacy. So, for example, it took Tinder a very long time to eliminate. You can connect your Instagram to your Tinder profile, but it took Tinder a very long time to remove people's handles, so your Instagram name, which meant that if you were on Tinder and if you didn't match with somebody or if you unmatched with somebody, they would have your full name and another social media account. So people were frequently getting messages on Instagram going, oh, hey, you unmatched me on Tinder, but let's talk. which means they're violating the basic consensual contract of an app like Tinder, which means if we match, that is how we communicate, and that is the only way I want to communicate. But it also means people are also sending sexually explicit messages that are unwanted. People are demanding people's phone numbers before meeting them. And there's the sense that, you know, women are told, women particularly are told, if you're meeting someone you don't know, like, take security measures and safety measures. Don't give your phone number out immediately. Demand that you meet in a public place. Don't let anyone drive you there. But frequently users on dating apps see those steps as being too extreme and high maintenance and hysterical and buzzkill. And a lot of men particularly will say, oh, like, you're treating me like I'm a rapist. You're treating me like I'm a murderer. That's ridiculous. And it's almost this assumption that if you're on a dating app, you don't have the right to make basic requests to ensure that you feel safe and secure and that your privacy and safety being respected.
It strikes me that if somebody that you actually are considering meeting with won't show that degree of respect, well, then they're not worth meeting in the first place.
And I would completely agree. But however, unfortunately, that attitude isn't shared by a lot of people on dating apps. And again, this primarily affects women, that we're treated like our good instinct and our desire to be safe is us being hysterical. And if that's normalized by everybody, then it does become incredibly difficult to communicate with people and to create relationships. And if women are socialized to constantly doubt their instincts, to say, oh, I don't want to be a buzzkill, I don't want to insult this man by indicating that I might need to meet him in public first, or I mightn't want to immediately get in his car first. And so I think it's on us as a society to take those concerns incredibly seriously. And I think a lot of it comes from misogyny, and a lot of it comes from just a general anti-casual sex attitude, that we do believe if you're looking for casual sex, you have no right to say, oh, I want to meet you in public first and have a drink or have a coffee and make sure that in person you respect people's boundaries, you're good with social cues, because we almost think, oh, because you're having casual sex, you don't have the right to ask for those things. You should go to someone's house.
Okay, then I want to go back to you, Andy. Do you have any practical suggestions to give yourself that little bit more protection when using dating apps?
Well, Rose's point is an interesting one about Instagram. And so for a long time, the ability to do image searches online, Google have made this available for years. And if you're using your Facebook profile image as a, if you're using your Facebook profile image as your dating image, it makes it really easy for somebody to search for you. So to search, to do an image search, and they will find your Facebook profile. If you've allowed yourself to show up in searches, which most people do, they'll find your other social media accounts. They will find your Instagram account. So my suggestion, one of the key things I would say to people is never use your Facebook profile image, even though Tinder defaults to that. Add additional photos just to help yourself a little bit.
Other things you'd suggest?
Well, there are other things in relation to dating on and using, you know, common sense. For instance, something like Facebook Messenger has a nice location tool. So if you're on a date and, you know, I would always suggest, I've heard of some people doing screenshots of their Tinder conversation, sending it to a friend before they go on a date. So the person has some of the conversation and a photo of the person, tell them where you're going to be. If everything's going great, text them, use Messenger, 11, 9, 10, 11 o'clock, whatever it is, all okay. But make sure that you include the location. So, you know, don't just sort of think that you're gonna alert somebody if things aren't going well, but also tell them that things are going fine.
Ro, it's terrible that you would have to do something like this, and you might object to the need to do something like this, but surely practical measures like this are better than doing nothing at all.
No, I don't object to the need to do it at all. I think my feeling is it's not just on the person who's going on the date and who might feel a bit safe to do these things and to say, oh, I'm going to message a friend. I think we have to be really open about that and say to the person you're dating, cool, where am I meeting you? Cool, I'm going to give my friend a heads up, or I'm going to meet you in public first, or no, I don't actually give out my phone number until I've met someone in person. And it's also on us to judge the reaction of the person and to normalize the idea of saying, if you think I need to give you my phone number first, or if you think it's weird if I don't want to get in a car with you immediately, that is your problem. You are being the one who's not respecting me. You are creating a situation where you don't care if I feel safe and calling that out. And it's that side of the equation that really needs to shift.
I have to leave it there. Ro McDermott, Andy O'Donoghue, thank you both very much for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.